Good evening, everyone. Warm welcome to all of you. It's good to have you all join us for our prayer meeting. Let's commit this time to God before we listen to the preaching of the word and come together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your presence here. We want to thank you for your love. Dear Lord, we have come before you for a reason. We know, Lord, that you have poured out your spirit, and we are asking you, dear Lord, to fill us with your spirit, renew us, revive us, dear Lord. Let us abound, Lord, in the power and grace and goodness of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we pray that even as we study this word, that we will know you, Holy Spirit, that we will open our hearts to your presence, to your grace, to your love. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we'll be looking at the Pentecost. This is found in Acts chapter 2, and this is when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples for, as Jesus had promised. We have seen texts concerning what Jesus spoke about the promised Holy Spirit. Excuse me. And you can see that Jesus told disciples not to go anywhere until they've received power from on high. Last week, Jack spoke a little bit about what Jesus said concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit, another advocate that they will receive. And this is the day of Pentecost. It's the last days of the Harvest Festival, and people come together to worship before the Lord, and this is what took place. So let me read the scripture text. It's taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were standing in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Okay. So today we'll just look at this event, and on the first slide, we'll see some of the key things that happened. As you have heard from the scripture text, all the people were gathered in prayer, and then the wind and fire, the presence of God. And I think all of us are familiar with these terms, wind and fire. We have seen the manifestation of God's presence through these symbols. Okay, and then there was tongues of fires that came on each person, men and women, and this is the unique feature that everyone received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Okay, and the other thing that was highlighted, that Jews from every nation, and even those who converted into Judaism, and people who were dispersed through the diaspora, you know, through the many wars and things that happened, the Jews staying all over the various nations that were listed, the 15 different places, came back for the celebration, the Pentecost, okay? And all of them were present when this happened. So what's the significance and what God was doing at this place, at this time, okay? So the first thing that we must be mindful of is this whole idea of a new creation, the work of God in renewing all things, in restoring all things. And we have heard, through many sermons, and we have seen scriptures that how we have fallen, we have strayed from God, we have been exiled from God's presence, and our hearts have turned away from God, and we are in sin. And yet God has been doing this redemptive work, and God takes this a step further as he has promised a new covenant. So here you can see that the language used, as we have seen in John chapter 1, it's a language of new creation. So in the book of Genesis, verses 1 to 3, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." So there was a word, and there was the Spirit of God at work. And the word is Jesus Christ. Okay, and he has come and done, you know, what he needed to do. He laid down his life. He presented himself as a sacrifice. And because he has cleansed us and washed our sins and removed our sins, you know, the Spirit comes and renews our heart in the image of God. Okay, so there's God's power is at work within us in a whole different level. Okay, and this is what Jesus prophesied and was talking about in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." So God is a spirit, and therefore we are required to worship in spirit. And therefore the Holy Spirit enables us to worship. The Holy Spirit makes us, you know, a temple, and he creates within us a heart towards worship, and he gives us the words, and he opens us towards the presence of God within us. He allows us to enter that place of worship. No longer we have to travel to a specific location, but rather the Spirit has come on us. Okay, so God is renewing all things, a new creation, and that's a very important thing that we have to be mindful of. If you talk about what the Spirit does in our heart, he's creating something new. Okay, so the old has gone, and you will see how this is developed throughout the text. Okay, so the other word of for renewing all things is regeneration. Okay, and here Jesus speaks about it. "You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Okay, so there is a new birth, a new creation. All right. And then there's another Old Testament picture of that Spirit of God renewing all things. And this is a valley of dried bones. Okay, and where Ezekiel was brought into the place. And through that vision, God shows that how he would renew his people. And we are like that, lifeless, dry bones, you know, and we cannot live. And then and there was this conversation. He asked me, you know, God asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So you see, this is the work of the Spirit, you know, the breath of God, renewing us, restoring us, so that we will know God in a deeper and more intimate fashion. You know, we will be born as children of God, born by the Spirit, born into the spiritual realities of God, born to recognize and be sensitive to the things of God. All right. So this is what the Holy Spirit does. He opens our hearts to these spiritual realities. He makes us and new and renews our spirit. through his power and grace. Okay. So what we must keep in mind is that, you know, as much as we think about regeneration and the work of Christ as God removing sin from us, as God saving us from the wrath of God, but the positive aspect of the work of Spirit, you know, must be understood. The fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, he regenerates us, he liberates us, and he transforms us. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5:17, what Paul says. So regeneration is the divine action by which God renews the fallen creation so it reflects his character. So once again, we go back to the original plan made in the image of God, and we are renewed in the image of Christ, okay? The perfect image of who God is, all right? And we are made like him. So this is what the Spirit has come to do. God is pushing this through. He is moving us forward. He is changing us. He is transforming us. He is removing the old. He's crucified the old with Christ. And we are alive and sensitive to the presence of God because of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Okay. And therefore, it's always, you know, the word new comes again and again, a new covenant. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So you see, this whole regeneration is not us, you know, doing it, but rather it's the power of God doing it. It is by the Spirit, by the presence of God. He is changing us. He is renewing our heart. He has removed the heart of stone, and he is enabling us to know God and to keep his ways. So this is what it means, you know, to be filled and to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. This is what happened, you know, on the onset of Pentecost, right? And the other interesting feature here is that all people were baptized, okay? So it's the, you know, everyone is consecrated. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, it says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split." So why this passage is important is because it's making a reference to the Holy of Holies. And you know that it's only the high priest that can enter the Holy of Holies once a year, you know, to make atonement for the people. Okay, no one else is qualified, only the high priest. Okay, and you find that in the Old Testament, God would, as much as God's presence is with his people, God would anoint certain people for certain tasks. Okay, and there was a kingly anointing, the priestly anointing, the anointing to be a prophet. But the thing is, through the blood of Christ, all people are consecrated and have access to the Holy of all Holies because our sins has been removed. So therefore, all of us qualify to enter the presence of God, to the most holy place. All of us become the most holy place because the Holy Spirit, you know, who resides in that place now resides in our heart. So it doesn't matter, men and women. And you see, that's what changed in the book of Acts. It starts with this group of people who are gathered to pray, and eventually it moves on to all nations, you know, to all, to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, okay? So it just moves and moves out because God is renewing all of creation for his purpose, okay? Everyone. And therefore, you know, being this is what we call the priesthood of all believers, as Peter would say, you know, we are a kingdom of priests. All of us are invited to be part of the body of Christ, and therefore all of us enter into the priestly ministry to do the work of Christ. Okay, and this is amazing thing. You know, God has opened the doors for everyone, and you know, to do his work, to represent him, to bear his image. And this is what the Spirit does. It's the gift of God. It's the work of God. You know, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever puts their faith in Jesus Christ, is filled with the Holy Spirit. So we are a new people. We are the priesthood of all believers. We are a people of the new covenant, Okay, and all this is, you know, ideas that carry this whole picture of Pentecost. You know, when they write this and all these images that you see here, all the things that happened for, all the things that were spoken about for thousands of years, God was talking through the Old Testament, through the prophets of a coming time, you know, of the Messiah, of a renewal of all things, of the restoration of all things, the restoration of his people, of a new covenant. And it takes place now. Okay. And Jesus Christ opens the door. And because of what he has done, you know, in his final act, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know. We now become the temple of the Holy Spirit as individuals, as a community. And the other interesting that happens here is the reversal of the Tower of Babel. So if you don't remember the story, it's a story in the book of Genesis, where all the people spoke a common language and they got together and they wanted to build this tower as a symbol of their pride. They wanted to ascend to the heavens, to where God is. They wanted to make their way towards God. And therefore God gave them different languages and dispersed them throughout the nations, okay? And therefore you can see that's what happened. So they could not understand each other, and each language speaking group moved towards different places, and that gave birth to different nations. But here you can see the a sort of a reversal of this, all the nations representing the 15 that was listed here, and all of them who were, you know, dispersed came back, and suddenly they were hearing their own tongue being spoken, as the people were enabled to speak in different tongues by the Spirit of God. Okay, and they were heard, the people who were baptized by the Spirit, glorifying God in their own tongue. So this is what's happening, you know, this is showing that God was doing something that would impact the whole world, that will draw the whole world back to him, that will renew the whole world, every tongue, every tribe, every nation, okay, from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. And this is a move of God, okay, and the blessing starts from the people of Israel, God's chosen people in the nations, and from then, okay, after the message hits them, it is preached and they become a light to all nations. They are enabled to fulfill the promise given to Abraham, and through the work of Christ, okay, that light shines to all nations, and all nations are blessed, you know, because they are now all under the new covenant, all baptized by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. All right. And as people were puzzled and they were bewildered by what they seen and heard, you know, some were shocked as who enabled these people to speak such language and what's really happening here. Some people just thought these were a bunch of drunk people. Okay. And therefore Peter got up and started to preach, and he quoted the book of Joel, and he spoke of this prophecy of a time coming in the last days. Okay, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great day and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this is the beginning of the last days, okay, because the king has revealed himself. All right. And what has happened here, God has promised that this will happen. The last days, God will pour out his spirit on all people. All of them will be enabled by the power of the Spirit. And one of the promise given and the prayers in the Old Testament is that may the glory of God fill the whole world, okay? His glory fill the whole world as the waters cover the sea. I mean, that's the vision. And here you see the Holy Spirit being the agent of that vision, the glory of God covering the whole earth. So what's really interesting, I mean, when you look at this and think about what's happening today, you can just go and do some research and go and read something that's happening in China or Ethiopia or Iran or Iraq, you know. And what you will hear about the Christian story, you will hear of men and women filled with the Holy Spirit, declaring the glory of God in amazing ways. You will see them preaching boldly. You'll see them testifying to the goodness of God. You'll see lives being transformed from drug addicts to homeless people, you know, to people who are caught up in all kinds of addictions and so forth. People who are rejected, you can see lives being transformed and healed and restored. You can see men and women, young and old, rising up to do the will of God. And even though they face persecution, difficulty, and hardship, all of them are rising and proclaiming the story of Jesus Christ. So you can see the impact in that time. It just happened to that, you know, around that 120 people gathered there to pray. And then Peter preached, and 3,000 accepted Christ, okay? But then from that small place in Jerusalem, today we hear stories all over the world, okay, of how God has made a way for his word to be preached. You can see even people who have no access to the gospel having dreams and visions about Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of stories and testimonies of people in the Muslim world who have received such dreams, okay, and where they come up. And they say, we've met Christ, we have the vision of Christ, and we want to know more about him. So this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. You know, it's just changed everything in this world. It has changed people, you know, over the last 2,000 years. You know, it's a constant story of the work of the Spirit moving. And in spite of all the opposition, in spite of all peoples of different nations trying to stop it, trying to twist it, God moves on, because this is the promise of the last days. You know, his glory will cover the whole earth. God's word will go forward, and God will save his people before he comes again. So this is the timeline of the Messianic age. Okay, and we've seen this before, right? You know, highlighting different details, but the main point of it, it all starts with the coming of Jesus Christ, the significance of his death. All right, you know, that he paid the price, all right, for all of us. He was the Passover lamb, the significance of his resurrection, his victory over death, all right, and his ascension, you know, and then he sending the Holy Spirit, the Pentecost, okay, and then we await the second coming. So now everything has changed in the world since Jesus Christ came to inaugurate the new covenant, his kingdom, you know, his rule. A government that will not end. So in the book of Ephesians, and this is just one of the many scriptures that reveal what has taken place, chapter 1, verses 19 to 23 says, and it's incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength, okay, he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. And every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head of everything for the church, which is the body and the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So you can see the language and the other words that speaks, God brings every feet and we ruling in Christ, and Christ ruling over all powers, authorities, and dominion. So there's a change in the spiritual atmosphere. You know, because God is renewing all things, and the agent of the renewal is the Holy Spirit. He has come, okay, to empower his people. He has come to differentiate his people. He has come to enable his people. He's come to enable us to pray, enable us to know God, to enable us to have intimacy with God, to experience God in his fullness in a very real way. So all things have changed. And that's the story, okay? And that's the testimony of the Christian, of the church, of Christians all over, the presence of God with us, all right? And they speak about the reality of the Holy Spirit, you know, bringing healing and renewing and restoring them and helping them to know Jesus and grow in his likeness. So we truly live under the Messianic age. And that's what you have to remember. As much as you are facing your a daily grind, and you have your families and your homes and your work and whatever it is that you face, you know, there's one thing that you cannot shake off: the idea that there is a God who rules all things, that there's Jesus Christ whom you know in a personal way, there's the Lord Jesus who speaks to you and guides you and leads you in all truth, and all this is being done through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, you are sensitive to Him, you understand your calling, you begin to experience His guidance, you begin to experience, you know, the word of God speaking to you, you're convicted, you're transformed, you receive dreams and visions, and you believe in something much more than what the world offers. So this is what the new birth, the new covenant means, all right? We are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what is important for us to understand from all this is that we should not forget this promise. We should not forget what has happened since the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we are experiencing God in a very real way. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our church, I want you to be mindful of that truth. I don't want you to forget the many experiences of God that you have had. And I don't want you all to keep those as things of the past, things that happened long ago and will not happen again. Okay, the whole point of this study and preaching is that we want to encourage each other to remember that God is real and He dwells in our heart, and we can experience Him in a powerful way each day in our life. He can energize our prayers. He can enable us to understand the word. He can help us, you know, empower us to do the work of God. No matter what has happened and what this pandemic has caused and the challenges we face, God is greater. God is more powerful, and His power rests with us. You know, God, because God, the Holy Spirit, rests with us. So that is the faith of the Christian community. Okay. And so, you know, we must be careful that we are not running dry. You know, it's not just an exercise of changing our behavior or just trying to think positively, but rather, you know, it's truly experiencing the work of God. It's like this picture, you know, just being overflowed by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that overflowing into every aspect of our life. So we have spoken much in the church, and we will continue to help each other in this whole area of discipling, knowing the things of God and growing in the things of God. But what we must be mindful of, there must always be this move in our hearts, you know, to seek the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, to ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, to do the things, you know, that helps us recognize the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into more of that as we go through this study. But one important thing is to be for us to keep our minds all, and I would advise you, even as we've come together to pray, and something we should pray every day, that we all should ask, Lord, you know, Holy Spirit, come fill me, renew my heart. Let me sense the power of God. Let me be filled and renewed in the power of God. Let me experience the goodness, the love, the depth, the riches of God in a very real way each day of our lives. And this should be our prayer. Okay, we should never give up on this prayer, you know, because God has already poured out the Spirit and given us this gift. And therefore, we must seek to be alive in the Spirit. Again, one thing that keeps us from becoming legalistic, one thing that keeps us, you know, from going back into works, you know, believing that all this that we must do is to be mindful that there is this source of power, there is this source of life that comes from the Holy Spirit, all right? And we have to kind of join the dots, you know, when you reflect, you realize every time you move forward, you can sense the power, the grace of the Holy Spirit ushering you forward. Every time when you face difficulty and challenges, you know, and you feel hard, you feel very challenged to pray, you can sense the power of the Holy Spirit moving you to pray. And the Holy Spirit sends people to you. The Holy Spirit speaks through the messages. The Holy Spirit speaks through the songs. The Holy Spirit gives you, you know, makes you remember of the past things. The Holy Spirit you know, guide your thoughts so that you may understand what's happening and what you need to do. So God, the Holy Spirit, is with us. God is speaking to us. God is in our homes. God is in our rooms. God is at our workplace. You know, God is in every aspect of our lives. And that's what we are about. Okay, that's what it means to be a Christian, you know, to have the Holy Spirit upon us, the power of God, the new work of God, you know, being regenerated and created in the likeness of God. So this is what's happening. And therefore, even as Jack put up this verse, and this is one important verse that we have to be mindful of as we go through the series, you know, and it says in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13, which of your fathers, if your son asks for fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, I mean, this is a very strong passage, okay? And Jesus just uses the whole dynamic of parents and children relationship, okay? So when our children ask us for something, we will give it to them, especially when they're hungry, they want food, okay? You know, we would give them, okay? And we will never trade it with something horrible, you know? Someone asks for fish, the idea of giving a snake will never come into our minds, okay? All right? We'll never give something harmful, okay? And if you ask for an egg, we'll never give him a scorpion that can sting or and like snake, something which has poison, which has venom, you know, but we'll give something that sustains, that gives life and all these things, okay? And then God makes the comparison, you know, even you who are evil, you know, even we who are imperfect and we who are sinners, you know how to differentiate good gifts and bad gifts and are very careful about making sure our children get the best. How much more will God give to the Holy Spirit through his very children, you know, who ask him for it? Again, he has the best in mind, you know, when God gives us his presence and God the Holy Spirit dwells within our lives. And that's what this passage is asking for. Okay, and you can understand, you know, that we are sometimes wondering, you know, what will, you know, the coming of the Holy Spirit entail? What will happen when he takes control of our life? What happens when we listen to him? What happens when we give ourselves to him? Will it turn out bad for us? Will we lose control of everything? Will we lose, you know, an opportunity to be something in this world or to be successful as the world is? You know, and that's the thing that we have to be mindful, okay? Because when we ask for the Holy Spirit, we are asking for Jesus to live and rule in our lives. We are asking for our own lives to be transformed in his image. And if we believe that being like Jesus is the best thing that can happen to us, you know, then for the Holy Spirit is most welcomed in our life, okay? We want to be baptized. We want to be renewed. We want to be empowered to do the work of Jesus. We want to be, you know, filled and given the gifts and have the fruit of the Holy Spirit so that we can represent Christ in all our ways, all right? So this is the tension. And therefore, that's why sometimes, you know, in our own prayers, we're asking for a lot of things, but we're forgetting what this whole renewal is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about bringing everything under his feet. It is about recognizing his authority, his glory. It's about calling him King. Okay. And that's what the Holy Spirit enables us to do. All right. And as when we put our faith in Christ and when we call upon his name, he definitely, you know, I mean, as we are born in the Spirit and confess Jesus Christ, we are born in the Spirit and we are made new in the image of Christ. So let's ask God for the Holy Spirit. Let's seek the Holy Spirit with all our hearts. So we're going to go into a time of prayer later. Shanti will lead in prayer. But first, just going to lead you in a time of just opening up your heart to the presence of the power and the Holy Spirit. Let's keep in mind what has been said. Let's be aware, you know, that even though we all are sitting in different places in front of our own devices, you know, and one thing we all have in common is we all confess Jesus Christ. And because of that, we all are filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. And there's no monopoly here. There's only him, God, the Holy Spirit, a good gift from God. Okay, the advocate, the one who empowers the one who dwells in our hearts, the one who renews us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So I would invite you just to take some time, you know, to look to him, to call upon him, and to ask him to fill you, to renew you, you know, to surrender your hearts to the wonderful work that he brings into your life. We thank you, dear Lord. We praise you. We praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, dear God. Blessed be your name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in your fullness. Come in your power. Renew our hearts, Lord. Fill us. Dear Lord, we praise you. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have poured out your Spirit upon us, Lord. It is not us, Lord, who's going to get this job done, but it is you, Lord. Once again, it's you, God the Spirit, who's going to lead us, empower us, and shape us, and teach us, and guide us, and transform us. It's you, God the Holy Spirit, who's going to get everything done. And we thank you that we are not left as orphans. We are thank you that you have, that we are baptized, immersed in your power, filled in your power, filled in your with your presence. And dear Lord, we pray that we will renew this blessing in our hearts, that we will once again open our hearts, Lord, to be filled, to be refreshed by your presence. Dear Lord, that we will not give up, Lord, or forget, Lord, that these are the last days. And your Spirit is moving throughout the lands, Lord, everywhere. It's not a nation that is untouched, Lord, by the presence of your power. And everywhere, Lord, there are praises rising up to you because of the work you are doing. Dear Lord, your word is being preached and declared and taught everywhere because of you, Holy Spirit, because these are the words that you have inspired. And through the preaching of this word, it is you who make this word flesh, Lord, who make us, Lord, more and more like Jesus, Lord, through this word. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, we come before you. We need your presence. We need more. Come and fill us. Come and renew that fire within us. Come and bring us into a place where we will experience God in a whole new way, deeper and richer way, dear Lord. That we will dive deeper into your presence. That we will be assured by what you can do, dear Lord. That we will be confident that no matter where we are and what we are facing, you will guide us and you will enable us. Dear Lord, even though we have so many things that needs to be fixed, let us believe that you will renew us each day as we call upon you. So even this very moment, fill every person, dear Lord, every person gathered today. Fill us, Lord Father, renew us, Lord. Let your power rest on us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we appreciate, we thank you. We want to lift up, Lord, healing and yourself into your hands. We pray, Lord, you be with this child and that you would heal her from jaundice and that she'll be well, Lord, Father, and that healing will recover quickly, Lord. And that you bless, Lord, this family, all of them, dear God. Lift up Priscilla and Eliza, Joanna and Kiru, as they are expecting a child, that you continue to be with them, Lord, Father. Be with the mothers, protect them, and grant them your favor. We truly want to thank you, Lord, for the successful procedure that Steve went through. And we just pray that he would recover well, that you protect him, that he will be filled, Lord, with your presence, with your grace and your love, Lord, even this time, Lord, Father. Dear Lord, we look to you for our church, even as we are coming, working through this endemic, dear Lord. We just continue to trust you, Lord, to guide us in all our ministries. As we have heard today, Holy Spirit, you are the director of these ministries. You can make a way. You can give us wisdom. You must direct us and you must show us what to do and how to do it. And dear Lord, we pray that you would pour out your presence, that you would energize us, Lord, that you awaken our hearts, Lord, to the vision that you have spoken to each one of us, that you would remind every leader, Lord, what you're doing here, and that we continue to press on, Lord, with your strength, with your power. Dear Lord, we also pray that for this nation, that you guide this nation in this situation. We continue to pray for the leaders of the nation, that you would enable them with your wisdom, with your strength, and with your grace, dear God. And dear Lord, we come to you. We come to you, Holy Spirit. We pray again, dear Lord. If anyone here is dry, Lord, fill them. If anyone is has lost their faith, Lord, believing that you cannot do the work you have promised, or that you cannot do a new work, Lord, and you have not made them new, Lord, I pray that you speak to them, dear Lord. If anyone is feeling powerless, Lord, and weak, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you enable them, dear Lord. If everyone feels, Lord, that there's a hurdle in front of them that they cannot cross, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they remind it's not by power, by might, but by your presence, dear Lord, by you, Holy Spirit, that every mountain will be removed. Holy Spirit, you're here with us, and teach us, Lord, to look to you, to depend on you, to wait on you, to seek your presence in our life, Lord. You are a God who speaks, God who shows, God who reveals, God who teaches, God who reminds, dear Lord, as your word said. Let us, Lord, believe, Lord, these gifts, Lord, these experiences are ours because you are with us, dear God. So let us press on with faith, with hope, dear God. We thank you, Lord, Father, to bring us, that you can bring us all together again, Lord, for this time of prayer. Continue, Lord, to stir prayer in this church, Lord, so that we will believe for revival, we will believe for renewal and restoration. We will believe, Lord, in the manifestation of your power and your glory in a special way. We thank you, Father. Bless every person, dear Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.